God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered unto one place." The gathering together of the waters he called the seas. And God saw that it was good. Then man made ships so he may make bucket loads of money crossing oceans. And man saw that it was good. Then God made millennials so that he could poke fun at humanity. Then millennials had dreams about racing to Alaska with no motor, support, or toilet. And millennials saw that it was good.
I love that. That's a video made by Shut Up and Drive, a San Francisco team of 8 sailors competing in this year's Race to Alaska. They have a really fast boat and a desire to win, but as you can tell, they're also having a hell of a lot of fun doing it. Now, if you haven't heard of the Race to Alaska, you should look it up because it's one of the most interesting sailing races I've ever heard of. It's a 750-mile race that goes from Port Townsend, Washington, up the Inside Passage to Ketchikan, Alaska. And what's cool about it is that any kind of boat is allowed in the race as long as it doesn't have a motor. And the one other rule is that no support crews are allowed. It starts June 3rd, and the record time for the race right now is 4 days. We'll see if anybody can beat that this year. Team Shut Up and Drive, as I said, is 8 members. It's Natalie Crew, Satchel Douglas, Neil Roberts, Tanguy de la Montem, Justin Venemerick, Robert Dietrich, Jeremiah Edwards, and Brett Boval. And I apologize to any and all of you whose names I mangled. I'm sure it was more than a few there. Their boat is a modified Beneteau Figueroa II. It's a French boat that's built for ocean-going single-handed racing. I sat down with Natalie, the owner of that boat. She's also an experienced single-handed ocean racer and the team skipper. And Satchel, who's a naval architect and Race to Alaska veteran. And we had a great chat in Nat's Bernal Heights home. So enjoy.
I am Nat Criou. I have been sailing since I was a kid. I started in France on small boats, moved to England to bigger boats, and then moved to the Bay Area onto also even bigger boat and then longer distances. And I really like offshore racing.
I'm Satchel Douglas. I grew up in Massachusetts, and I grew up sailing in the summers, sailing camp and getting to sail about a week a summer. I think that it was that lack of full-time opportunity that made me love to sail so much more.
And you, too, are part of a team for the Race to Alaska race that's coming up
in June,
In June, right? Coming up soon here. How many team members are there?
The full team is 8 people.
And the team name?
Shut Up and Drive.
Shut Up and Drive. Where'd that come from?
So Nat is a really experienced single-handed sailor. And the problem is that when you put her on a boat with a lot of other people who aren't quite as experienced, she has a tendency to instruct them and in the how to be better, which is very valuable. But she tends to focus on instructing other people and not as much on driving. So our catchphrase is, shut up and drive, Nat. Like, go back, do your job, we'll do ours, we'll get to it eventually.
That's exactly that.
And you said okay?
Yeah, I mean, we needed to find something that united us. And that's a phrase we can all understand being on both sides of it.
Well, I love the attitude of, first of all, let's take a step back. And for people who don't know R2AK, or the Race to Alaska, tell us a little bit about it. Satchel, you've done it before. This will be your first time now, right?
It will be my first time, yeah.
So what is this race?
It's perhaps the most exciting race that has come into the sailing world in the past couple years because it's very different than your traditional sailing race. The rules are very simple. You have to get from Washington State to Ketchikan, Alaska with no engine in the boat and no outside support. there are no other rules. So you can take whatever craft you want. You can human power it or use wind power. So there are kayakers in this race. There are pedal boats. Basically anything you can think of. Trimarans, foiling catamarans, Hobie 33s. This thing is wide open.
Is there a time limit? There must be a wide span of when people finish.
There's a rule called the Grim Sweeper, which is when the first person finishes, a virtual boat starts from Victoria and travels a certain number of miles each day.
Okay.
And if they catch up to you, then you are finished on the course.
And what is Shut Up and Drive's strategy for winning the 2019 Race to Alaska?
Well, that is top secret. There's a lot of information we can't share yet for competitors.
Fair
but we can talk a little bit about our strategy, though. I think that's fair.
Certainly.
So we have watched the very informative video that the race put out about this year's edition. And we've realized that there's really two types of conditions we will encounter. One is nothing mode or no wind.
Okay.
And then the other is full on.
Yeah.
Or what we call all mode.
So it's with loads on or of wind. Off. There's no in between.
It seems to be pretty much on or off. So our strategy really involves optimizing the boat for each of these modes. So we have a mode where we assume no wind and it will be human powered. We have also broken down the team so that there will be four people on the team that will be basically specializing in this mode. And we call them the cyclists.
The cyclists?
The cyclists, yes.
Well, we know that there were cyclists on the America's Cup boat, the Kiwi boat that won in, what was that, 2017? But I don't usually hear about cycling on race boats. So tell me about that.
Well, cycling or just bikes in general are very efficient machines. We believe that's probably one of the most efficient technologies that we can bring to the boat with human power. The goal is when we have no wind to propel the boat forward, we'll have sweat to do it.
So how are these bikes connected to the boat?
We've built an apparatus, I think is the best way to describe it. We're calling it a pedal drive. We're not the first people to do this. We're taking inspiration from Team Jungle Kitty Skiff Foundation in the 2016 race, a couple other teams, and pedal drive, a guy who's set the human-powered boat pedal record in Australia.
For speed.
Yeah,
and what is that speed?
He did 12 knots over a 1 kilometer course, I think.
Okay.
We're not going to go that fast.
Well, probably not
twice
for very
as fast.
Long.
We'll go twice as fast.
No engine in the boat.
But correct. The engine's pulled out.
But you can have a propeller.
Right.
And that propeller can be attached to a bicycle.
We actually have two propellers
and
four bicycles. And that's why we need eight people on the boat.
Four cyclists. And the rest will be the sailors for the wind mode.
How fast do you think you will go? Have you done test runs, I guess?
We've been testing since December.
Uh-huh.
And iterating prototypes, rebuilding, changing ratios, testing. In flat water, we go over 3 knots pretty consistently.
So you have these different modes, but I understand you have no commode.
Well played. You've been setting that one up for a while.
Hey, it just came to me. Yeah, so that is one of the finer points on the boat here. How long is this going to take?
Hopefully not more than, if it takes us more than 6 days, something has gone wrong.
Something's gone wrong. So no toilet for 6 days, but you have a bucket, right?
Yeah, we have actually two buckets. One is for emergency use only for bailing, and then the other one is really a very valuable team member, and it will be used for deposits.
Yes.
Now, to be clear, in favorable conditions, we recommend direct deposit. And the pedal drive actually makes a very nice platform extended off the back of the boat that's pretty comfortable for releasing waste. Shall we say?
So, which is why you want the window seat if you're going to be on the pedal drive, because if you're in the back. It's not as pleasant.
So it serves dual purpose. I see. You've been thinking about this design very carefully. I love it. So is that because of weight? It's a sparse boat, I'm imagining.
Yes. Very sparse. In fact, I think everybody but me seems to be complaining about the comfort on the boat. The size of the bunks.
Well, I mean, are French people short? I don't understand. Why did they make the bunks only 5'10"?
And how tall are you?
I'm 6'2", and one of our cyclists is 6'6".
Ah, yes. You're going to be squeezing in.
There are race boats. You know, J-Boats makes race boats.
Right.
And you look out at the outside of the boat, and you see this sleek racing machine. And then you go inside, and there's cushions, and there's a sink, and there's maybe a stove, and maybe a table. We don't have any of that. The inside of the boat looks a lot like the outside of the boat. It's white, it's gel-coated, and there's one seat and a nav table and a one-burner stove.
But there are bunks.
There are bunks,
it's not hammocks.
No. We did add a hammock forward. Because what we found
is... We are utilizing a hammock.
Yeah, yeah.
This is going to be great. So what is the boat?
So the boat is a Figaro 2.
Okay.
And it's a boat that was used for about 15 years in the single-handed professional racing world in France.
Okay.
And it has been designed and optimized for single-handed sailing.
Got it.
But it is what I really call an offshore sailing machine or offshore racing machine.
And what's the size?
It's a 33-foot boat.
Yeah, so it's going to be tight for 8 people for 6 days.
I keep telling them that.
You know, that's a concern. But in the testing that we've done, we did 36 hours with 7 people on board.
Yeah.
And it actually works out pretty well because in the light wind condition, you have 4 people biking. Mm-hmm. And when they are ready to rest, they're sleeping. You know, the other people are sleeping. So there's 4 people biking and then there's 4 people in the 4 bunks or in the bunks and up forward. And you don't really notice it. And then when you're sailing, it's kind of the same thing.
You have crew of 4 for biking, a crew of 4 for sailing if the wind picks up. What if you get a 2-day stretch or a 3-day stretch of one or the other? Can you swap roles?
Yeah, we have a rotation system whereby the sailors will also bike. The way we've designed...
They're not getting away that easy.
No, that's definitely something that we will have to train for as well as sailors and that we are training for. We're coached by the cyclist.
Mm-hmm.
The way we will design things, though, is that if they are... transitions, let's say a little bit of wind and then back to no wind, then we will always have the cyclists start the rotation. And so it's only if it extends past their watch that we'll have some sailors stand in.
Got it.
And obviously if the wind picks up, the sailors will be first. Some of the cyclists can also help while we are sailing because, again, this boat is very much set up for shorthanded sailing. Mm-hmm. So we can really, you know, sail the boat and drive it really hard from a performance standpoint with very, very few people. So we could have some of the cyclists, if we have long days with lots of wind, help and, you know, do some of the cooking or just help from a performance standpoint, just hike on the high side and all that kind of things.
So tell me a little bit each about your sailing background and what draws you to a race like this, which is different than, well, any other sailing race out there today.
So first of all, just so that things are clear, this is a race that has been driven by the millennials on our team.
Okay.
Satchel and Neil. And they initially just handcuffed me to the mast and then say, "You're coming too." So that's how I got into the race. So
we needed a boat. And
she had the boat. And right. How did you meet?
I graduated from college and I got a job out here.
Yeah.
And I'd heard about this race in 2015 and I thought it was really cool, but I couldn't get the time or the money or whatever. When I moved out here, I just posted on a forum for the race and I said, "I'm crew available." And I got picked up for a team by 2 guys that I'd never met. One of them from Alaska, Mac Dahl, and the other guy from Port Townsend.
What was your first race to Alaska like? What was the boat and what was the experience?
So the way that I met Nat is the boat was an Express 37.
Okay.
27. Sorry. And Nat raced and had an Express 27, raced it on the bay. And the guy, Mike, who I was sailing for, bought it from the bay, trucked it up to Port Townsend to do the race to Alaska. And then he introduced me to Nat, and so I started sailing with her to train for Race to Alaska, basically.
Got it. Okay.
So we started with Race to Alaska.
It was good enough that you want to go back and do it again.
We could do a whole nother episode on this experience. But to summarize, it was the adventure that I was looking for. Mike was 70 years old at the time, and he hadn't sailed in 20 years.
Wow.
He really wanted to do this race, and he was a really nice guy, but his sailing experience, it was slow to come back.
Yeah.
Mac is a really great guy. He's actually doing the race again this year with Team Ketchikan. But he hadn't raced a ton. He was a cruising sailor. And so it was great that I got to sail with Nat and train down here because I brought all the racing tips for how to push an express hard to the team. And we pushed pretty hard. It was a funny year. There was not a lot of wind in the Strait of Georgia, as there usually is. But then a front came through for the teams that were fast enough along and separated the whole fleet into two packs. So we finished in 13th place, and the next boat didn't finish until 2 days later after us. We were kind of hanging in there with the big, with the trimarans and the bigger race boats, and actually racing and chasing Neil's team. And that's how I met Neil and got him involved in this.
And I really like offshore racing. I like the adventure part of it, but I like sailing boats really fast. And I think races is really a way to make sure that you will sail the boat as fast as you can possibly can. The race I did last year is called the Solitaire, which was a single-handed race, but it is very, very regimented. So like every single millimeter on the boat is measured. Everything is codified. You can only have certain types of sail, certain types of material. Everything that you can bring along, you know, all the way to the volume of water that you can bring on the boat is defined by the class rules. So there is very much no room for innovation. Mm-hmm. It is good because obviously it's just all the same boats, and therefore the idea is like what makes the difference is going to be the sailor.
Where was that race? Where did that race take place? Where was it
between? It was in Europe. It was across the British Channel, Bay of Biscay, and then a little bit down to like the Spanish area. And
it was four legs of 1,600 nautical miles total.
So
you've decided to go completely the other direction.
Exactly.
The rules.
The exact
and
opposite.
Say, I'm not going to sail solo. I'm going to bring seven other people aboard with me.
Yeah, this is exactly this. This is basically, if you could find a race that is, you know, the exact opposite of the solitaire, that would be a race to Alaska for me, because it is where there's no rules for the boat. So long as it floats and has no motor on it, then you can go. It is a race that I don't think you can win if you're solo, because there's a lot of times when you're really close to shore, and when you're really close to shore, it's the worst possible time if you're a solo sailor to like sleep.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of debris in the water, so you need to pay a lot of attention. And also, if you're solo, there's no way you can, you know, cycle and sail. So it would be really, really difficult to really be truly competitive as a solo sailor in that race.
Yeah.
And so say, okay, well, if we really want to push the boat and push the team hard, then we need loads of people. So I've never raced with this many people on the boat, and it's definitely going to be interesting. and biking is my other sport. That's the sport that I do for fun and just to stay fit so that I can sail harder. So this race has like all these ingredients.
Where's the line between the fun and wanting to win? Because there's obviously that competition aspect, but you guys are obviously having a lot of fun, and sounds like all the teams have a lot of fun in this race. The first prize is
$10,000.
And the second prize is
a set of steak knives.
Yeah. I'm vegetarian, so we're not going to second place.
So that is not an option. But where is that line?
That's a great question. I think that this boat is pretty cool because...
Of course, it's mine.
Because you chose wisely. The boat is fun, right? In the conditions, when the conditions get tough and windy, that's when this boat really excels. There's a correlation between pushing hard in adverse conditions and fun with this boat. Downwind, above 20 knots... It is a ride. So I think that's where I would say the line is. Certainly pedaling for 10 hours straight, you know, 2 hours on, 2 hours off is not fun, what anyone would call fun. Though,
really?
Except for
it was not. Oh.
Justin, I think Justin might like it a little bit. One of our cyclists is a little bit of a...
Hey, that's good to have aboard.
Yeah, my butt definitely didn't like it.
And Nat, you are the only female. Not only are you climbing aboard with seven other people, you're climbing aboard with seven other dudes. And one bucket, so you
two
know.
Two buckets, but only one.
Two buckets, okay.
Only one with a lid.
One with a lid, yes. Any trepidations going into that situation?
No. It is sadly quite common in the sailing world that you have one woman for many men.
Yeah.
You know, it's good. A lot of the time they'd be shirtless showing their legs on the bike, so you know. It's a great race for that.
I think that this is one of the things that I really like about our team. Unfortunately, for this race, Nat is the only woman. But on a regular basis, we often have a 50-50 gender balance for the bay races. Unfortunately, Cynthia and, Annalise and Hannah can't make it for this race. But it's very cool and different to be sailing on a team that has a different makeup and prizes diversity over getting more 50-year-old white dudes on the boat.
And the team that won last year was all female, right?
Correct. Sail Like a Girl.
Sail Like a Girl.
Yes. That was awesome. That was really cool to watch. They put a lot into that race, and I think the results showed their effort, which is fantastic. First monohull ever to win the race. First all-female team. Very, very cool.
Now, I've heard some rumors that the organizers of the race are thinking about changing rules because things are going in one direction too much. What's that about?
You know about as much as I do. I've been trying to get to the bottom of that. So I know the guys. I was up in Port Townsend for they call it the Blazer Party during the Wooden Boat Festival to give out some random awards from the last year's race and kind of kick off the next year's race. And that's all they said. They said, do it this year because we're going to make some changes next year. And no one knows what that means. I've been trying to bribe people. I've really put a lot of effort into figuring it out. Going nowhere.
So what? But tell us about their intention when they started.
I think that they're fed up with parts of yachting that a lot of people are. And I can't speak for them, but I would say that the culture of this race that attracted me to it, and I think attracts a lot of people to it, is it's much more egalitarian. Sure, you can win by putting a lot of money into the race, and teams have done that. But last year, the race was between a Melges 32 and a Santa Cruz 27. And you can buy a Santa Cruz 27 for less than the cost of a used car. $5,000, maybe. The race really appeals to a group of people that is maybe not comfortable in yachting, maybe doesn't want to go out on a big expensive boat, do one small job, you know, grind running backstays, and then come back to the yacht club and drink a bunch of beer. The race appeals to people who want to actually challenge themselves instead of get yelled at by old white dudes.
I think what's really interesting also about this race is I think it really shows what true racing is. If you do a sailing race, a lot of the time what you will follow are the sailors on their boat on the water. But most of the races never start there, right? You have people that will spend a lot of time designing the boat. A lot of people will have to spend a lot of time about their race strategy. A lot of people will spend a lot of time about what is the ideal watch rotation, what is the ideal team. And with Race to Alaska, you kind of have to do this. What boat am I going to sail?
Yeah.
What kind of additional technology might I bring? What will I need? What kind of people can I race with or should I race with? What is the optimal strategy for this race? And because there is no rule, you have to make all these decisions. And all these decisions that are made often well before the race even starts are going to condition the entire race. Mm-hmm. And it is much more true representation of every race. At other time, these decisions have happened amongst race organizers, and then they came up with a bunch of rules that would represent all of their decisions, and none of this exists here.
The freedom that really brings out that ingenuity and diversity. Right. Yeah.
If you're not racing with a handicap, what do you do to your boat to make it faster? Is a fascinating question.
Yeah.
And one that people almost never get to ask because right. they're always sailing to a rating rule.
I also love that there's no rule that you, against stopping. If something breaks, you can, I mean, I guess you can't have help. Is that right?
The outside assistance rule is basically you can't receive help that wouldn't be available to everyone.
Okay.
So if you stop in a port and go to a store, completely allowed.
Okay.
If you ask around if the town has a machinist and then have them make you a part, completely allowed. You can't have pre-planned, you can't have a van driving up the shore with spare parts in case you need them.
Right. Do you know much about competition? Or people hold things pretty close to the vest before the race starts?
No. Thankfully, the race organizers post every team and information about every team. And most of the teams have social media presence. For a while there, because we applied pretty early on, we were perhaps the fastest boat in the fleet. We are that no longer, which is nice because it takes some weight off the shoulders. Unfortunately, there's a custom 10-meter trimaran in the race and two other trimarans and the Melges 32. I would say that that's probably the top pack.
You mentioned last year that it was the first monohull to win. So I'm assuming catamarans and trimarans have
correct
taken the top prize the last few years.
It's not very surprising, right? If you have a very light boat with a lot of speed over the water and then nothing through the water to stop them.
Yeah.
They're likely to be really fast.
Yeah.
The only time when they might not be is if there's really very heavy breeze, because they also have a risk of capsizing, so they will tend to reduce sail before a monohull will. Uh-huh. And also they don't point as much as by design as well to the wind. So if you're upwind the entire time, you might, particularly in waves, you might actually be a little faster with a boat like the Figaro 2. But right. In any other condition, they will be lighter, whether they be faster.
Right. So we know that in certain wind conditions, they're going to walk away from us. But this is the boat that we have. There's no glory in winning a race because you brought the fastest, most expensive boat.
Right. And that's what's the beauty of this race, is that there's going to be all kinds of different... I understand that there's people who've done it under just paddle power, paddle boarders and kayakers and...
rowboats, yeah. That's... yeah. And often the first leg of the race, which is Port Townsend to Victoria, it's 40 miles across Strait of Juan de Fuca. It's often won by human-powered boats, solely human-powered boats, because if there's no wind, they do those 40 miles in 4 hours, and the sailboats are just flopping around.
And tell me about the party at the end.
The finish is great, because no matter what time of the day it is, there are people there waiting for you on the dock, and they have a case of Alaskan Amber. And no matter what time of the day it is, you drink it. Nice. And then usually collapse.
Collapse after tiredness. Being... yeah, see. What else do you guys want to say about the race, about the boat, about sailing that we haven't touched on?
Well, the key challenge is going to get 7 men to sail like a girl.
There you go.
That's a really good point.
In my experience, when brute force applies, it tends to be applied if you have a lot of men on the boat. Mm-hmm. And it is great in some cases, but what it also does, it means you will expend much more energy to do the same thing that you could do if you applied a bit more planning or thinking about a maneuver or something like this. So, which we women are forced to do because there is no option for us to use brute force. So I am very much hoping that we will end up with a lot of smart sailors that will plan ahead and absolutely perfect maneuvers.
So while they might be saying shut up and drive, they should listen to you just a little bit.
That makes a great point. There's a reason that this team prides itself on having a diverse makeup, because we all have something to bring to the table. Now, the disclaimer, the team is predominantly upper middle class and white, right? So we still have work to do. But it's awesome to be racing on a team with really experienced and fun female sailors.
I wish you the best of luck in the race. Sounds like a lot of fun. Sounds like it could be miserable at points, but that's part of the joy of it. And best of luck, and thanks for joining me to talk about it.
Thank you.
We'll hopefully follow up afterwards and hear about the experience.
Yeah, you can ask lots of questions about why we did something that you see on the tracker that doesn't make any sense.
That's right. That's probably because I'm below sleeping at that point.
Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
As a reminder, this year's Race to Alaska starts on June 3rd, or started on June 3rd, depending on when you're listening to this. You can get the latest news from the race at R2AK. That's the letter R, the number 2AK.com, R2AK.com. This has been another episode of Out the Gate Sailing. I'm your host, Ben Shaw. And if you enjoy the podcast, leave a comment on iTunes, tell your friends about it, or shoot me an email at outthegatesailing@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.